Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Richard Skinner, Inspector General at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Dave Abel. Rick, we know that financial management has been a major challenge for DHS since its creation back in 2003. Could you describe for us some of the most significant challenges facing the department and its components in this area? And if I may, what recommendations have you made in this regard, and what remains to be done today?
Financial management most certainly was a major challenge and still is a major challenge for the Department of Homeland Security. The department was shortchanged when it was stood up. I don't think financial management or any of the management support functions, acquisition management, HR, or IT management were high on the agenda when they were allocating resources back in 2002, 2003 when they created the department. So it started in a hole and it had to dig its way out. You have to understand that we started with 22 different financial management systems from 22 different legacy agencies. Many of those people brought their own material weaknesses with them. Not only did we start trying to not having a single integrated financial management system, we had approximately 22 of these, and all of them with serious management deficiencies. It wasn't until the third year that we were actually starting to see some progress, and we're now getting traction, and there are very noticeable improvements being made. And that's under the leadership of David Norquist, who came in and had an understanding of, and he came from DOD, incidentally, that it has had a long history of problems, I believe, in the area of financial management. So he had an appreciation for the challenge that lay ahead when he took the job. But he was able to put together a game plan, and we worked very, very closely with him. This is something that I haven't seen a lot of, and that is working hand in hand with the CFO to identify what the root causes of the problems are. And as opposed to saying we can fix this overnight, developing a long-range 2 to 3, 4 year, 5 year game plan as to how we're going to pick away at the material weaknesses. And we've conceded major progress, in the last 3 years. We still have major challenges with the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard has just recently developed a very detailed and something that we're reviewing right now, corrective action plan, but it may take about 3 to 4 years for them to implement that plan. The Coast Guard, I don't think in its history, has ever focused on financial management, and in its history over at the Department of Transportation, because of the Highway Trust Fund, always went below the radar screen. But since it moved to DHS, it became a major player in our financial management activities. And, of course, its budget has increased considerably since it left Department of Transportation. Admiral Allen has something that he once told me, he goes, I get it, and we're going to fix it. And he is taking this very seriously, and I think he's very capable. He has an appreciation and understanding of the importance of financial management. Once we get over that hurdle with the Coast Guard, in the out years, I think we'll be able to give a unqualified opinion for the entire department. But we're seeing just great progress in the last 3 years.
That's fantastic. Again, you know, given the scale and size of the organizations coming together to form DHS. Now, along with financial management, as you mentioned, DHS continues to face some struggles in the area of information technology, i.e. the systems and networks and the capabilities across the various legacy systems. So same questions. What are some of the key recommendations that you've made in IT in this area, and what remains to be done?
That is another significant challenge. When you look back, when we stood up in 2003, the legacy agency brought with them over 2,000 IT systems. It took the department a good year just to inventory. How many systems do we have out there? And once they did that inventory, and that took a good year, year and a half, then, of course, the analysis of what are these systems, who are they serving, and what are their purpose, and are they still needed? After that analysis, they were able to integrate or eliminate many of these systems to reduce it down to about 700, something that's very manageable. Then phase two now is to see how well are they working and how can we even integrate them further. And that's the challenge we face today. Some of the obstacles, I think, is one is a resource issue. Although there has been notable progress integrating our systems, we're nowhere near where we need to be. additional resources are going to have to be dedicated to get the job done. We are doing some very, very good work. The department is doing some very good work in securing its systems. But again, there we still have a long way to go. One of our recommendations in the past and continue to be is that we need to empower the chief information officer to get the job done.
Rick, recently OIG conducted an independent evaluation of the department's information security program and practices. Can you describe some of the challenges facing the department in this area and perhaps what progress has been made and remains to be done?
Information security has always taken a back seat, I think, just not in the Department of Homeland Security, but in government as a whole. And I think just recently, since the 9/11 attacks, we have given new attention to the importance of IT security and its relationship to our economy and our national security interests. At the department, it's one of the things we have recognized as one of the primary priority issues that the CIO has given to a change within the IT, not only just doing the inventory, integrating, eliminating unnecessary systems, but it's to secure those systems. And we have taken, we've gone a long way. After we did our inventories, the department was able to certify and accredit those systems. Problems that we're still having, however, is one of resources. Implementing many of the recommendations that we make, many of the recommendations the CIO makes, and documenting the progress we've made, and just putting together a comprehensive vulnerability assessment program. Although the department has a program, it's just not being implemented down at the component level, and it goes back to what I said earlier. I think the CIO needs more operational control over these people.
So there's a number of places in the department management functions that in the initiation of the organization were not well addressed. With some $17 billion in annual acquisitions, effective acquisition management is fundamental to DHS's ability to be able to accomplish its mission. Can you outline for us some of the essential elements of efficient and effective acquisition process and how the department has improved over the last years in their acquisition management?
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. The acquisition management is essential to the success of the department. When you said $17 billion is spent annually, that's almost 40% of our annual appropriation. And we could not accomplish our mission without the private sector. And again, just like with financial management, when they stood the department up, acquisition management was not high on the priority list for the funding that was distributed back in 2003 or 2004. So again, just like financial management, the acquisition management workforce is digging itself out of a hole. But because of the urgency of our mission, we just can't stop these projects until we can build up our acquisition workforce. And therein is where we're getting ourselves into a problems because we're moving faster than our ability to keep up. Right now, we've recognized the problem. Two, we're starting to invest in the problem. But again, this is a government-wide problem, not a departmental Homeland Security problem. We're competing for resources throughout the government. There are just not a lot of acquisition management types out there today. So we have to create innovative ways of filling that void through internship programs, special training programs, and things of that nature. It's going to take us many more years, I believe, to have the acquisition workforce to the level where it should be to enable us to provide oversight of the big contracts that we have.
So in being able to balance those priorities of the urgency of the mission and good business practices, the department has necessarily been able to move forward with things like Deepwater, with SBINet, with the Katrina response activities and FEMA's response to other natural disasters. What are some of the things and recommendations you've been able to make to the organization and some steps they've been able to take to improve acquisition management on those programs of size during that period of time?
Well, there's several things that we can do and we can do better. One of our biggest problems is that we're not adequately defining what our requirements are. And those requirements are evolving over the course of the contract. And, of course, that's just the formula for disaster, for cost overruns and delayed delivery of the end product or the services. And the second thing is that we still don't have the capacity to provide the oversight that is needed to manage these contracts. So our advice and recommendation to the department is to move at a slower pace. We recognize there's an urgency here. We have mission requirements that we have to fulfill, and we can't wait until the acquisition management capability catches up with those mission requirements. So what we suggest is that you write shorter-term contracts with smaller incremental tasks. We're also recommended that we use contract vehicles that share the risk between the government and the vendor. And thirdly, we're recommending, and we have recommended both in Deepwater SBI, the SBI Net program in particular, ensure that the government retains its negotiating power with decision points and options. We've oftentimes have given up that responsibility and turned it over to contractors. Deepwater, I think, is a classic example of where we entered into an arrangement. It's a 25-year initiative. And it's a traditional like they refer to it as a systems procurement. And what we did was we used contractors to define what our needs were. Then we used contractors to deliver those requirements. Then we used contractors to oversee the delivery of those requirements. And that was a recipe for disaster. And as we can tell, they ran into a lot of the problems. And as a result of that, the Coast Guard has since reorganized its entire acquisition. And I understand Thad Allen was on his show. I'm sure he's probably addressed that. But they have recognized the need to reorganize their acquisition management function. SBI Net is another good example of having laid the foundation without laying the foundation to oversee and assess contract performance and to control the costs and the schedule for the delivery. Unlike Deepwater, however, SBI Net, we are moving out slower and we're doing it in incremental tasks. So I think from lessons learned from Deepwater, we'll be more successful with SBI Net.
Now, to shift gears a bit, I would imagine that managing some of the multitude of grant programs within DHS also creates some management challenges. What are some of the challenges and what must DHS do better to coordinate and manage the grant process? And how does your office monitor the state and local grantees and their use of the funds?
Well, first, let me say that we do have a multitude of grant programs. And those grant programs, I think, are a direct result of legislation that coming out of Congress. So it's not something that the department has created. And I have criticized the Congress or creating a grant program every time we have a problem. I don't think a grant program is always the solution to a problem. And as a result, now we have dozens and dozens of grant programs that are stovepipe, and I don't think are being as effective as they could be. And I think we ought to take a step back and look at these things to see how we can meld these programs together so they won't be as stovepiped. Second thing, I think the department is and this is doing, I think, a lot better job today than it was 5 years ago, and that is awarding its grants based on risk, using risk factors as a basis for awarding grants and identifying the grantees and the amounts of grants that go to various states. The department has organized their grant program under one agency now, so that's a big step forward. So all of our grantees out there know they have this one-stop shop. They know where to go when a problem comes up. In the past, we had 10, 15 different agencies responsible for these grant programs. We're doing, I think, an excellent job in advertising the grant programs. In the application review, receipt, and award process, I think is moving rather smoothly, because we had a lot of hiccups at the beginning when we stood up in 03, 04. But we're not doing a very good job of monitoring those grants after we award them. Once the grants are awarded, we should be out there working with the states, providing technical assistance and staying on top of how the grant funds are being spent. We're not doing that. And finally, I think the biggest and one of the biggest challenges we have is determining the effectiveness of those grants. That is, are we better prepared today or are we more secure today as a result of those grants? We can't answer that question. And I think we need to be in a position to do that if we want to continue spending approximately $6 billion a year.
So that effectiveness question is very, very important. So along those lines, Hurricane Katrina obviously opened everyone's eyes to the challenges of disaster preparedness and disaster response. And I understand that your office has been reviewing and evaluating FEMA's preparedness for effective disaster response. So in this context, could you tell us a little bit more about your scorecard assessments? What are the key functions critical to successful preparedness and what remains to be done?
Well, with that scorecard that we did, and we just did that recently, it was something done in collaboration with FEMA and Congress. I believe it was back in early 2007, Congress had asked us to do a scorecard of how the improvements or how better prepared is FEMA today than it was prior to Katrina. Of course, there's dozens and dozens of different ways you can go about doing that. So we sat down with FEMA and sat down with certain members of Congress and their staff and defined nine different areas. Everyone, we all agreed on, were very important to having a robust disaster response and recovery program. And we used those nine and we did a flyover, so to speak. We didn't go down into the weeds and study each of those, although we intended to do that in the out years, and we're still working on that today. And we identify these nine areas that we think are crucial and reported them where we thought they were. What we found is that we've made some moderate improvement in, I think, five of the areas. And not so good progress in the others. We still have a long way to go. We have to keep in mind that FEMA, even before 9/11 or even pre-Katrina, was never equipped to deal with a catastrophic disaster. Very good at dealing with what I refer to as garden variety disasters. We set the bar each time a major disaster came. That became the new bar. Hurricane Andrew, for example, was the bar. Then Northridge earthquake, we reset the bar. But again, it was never, when you compare Andrew and Northridge to what we experienced after Katrina, there is no comparison. We were just not ready. And that's what we're trying to do right now is to, FEMA, is trying to build that capacity to respond to a catastrophic disaster.
What does the future hold for DHS and its Office of Inspector General? We will ask Richard Skinner, Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.